We're holding on Nuntes Amudei's six lines from the bottom. We've been learning all about the matter of not putting, where the Torah tells us don't put oil and don't put Levoina on a Minchas Choyte or on a Minchas Sota. So let's talk, and we talked about that if you put oil, then it makes it possible. If you put Levoina, then not necessarily, because you can pick off the Levoina. What happens if the Levoina is ground up, etc.? An interesting thing that's brought up in that regard by Achronim is, let's say, for example, you just put on a tiny bit of oil, where now you could presumably just remove the oil together with whatever flour absorbed it, and then refill it with more flour and bring it. Would that be kosher, or is it zeris hakosher that any time you put oil, then it makes it kosher, and there's no way of fixing it out? Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, nosen mashu shemen al gaba kezayis mincha. Like, you put even a little bit of oil, but on at least the kezayis of the mincha. So there was at least the kezayis together, and he poured oil on it. Posel, then he'll make it posel. My timer. Why? Because Lo Yosim, because the Pasuk says about a Minchas Chayta that he could not place oil on it. Now, the word, you have two words in Lashon Kodesh that you can use for placing or putting something. You can say Lo Yosim, you can say Yosim, or you can say Yitim. And the Gemara is going to point out that in this Pasuk you have that contrast where by the oil it says Yosim, whereas by the Levoina it says the word Yitim. By the Minchas Chayta, by the way, it's a little bit different. There, the expression is Lo Yitzik Olav Shemen V'Lo Yitin Olav Levoina. But so by both of them, it says Yitin when it comes to Levoina. When it comes to the Minchas Chayta, it uses the word Yitzik, which means to pour it. But by the Minchas Chayta, it uses the expression Lo Yosin and Sima. So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef points out Sima Kol Debu. The word sima, that shodesh song, means to place even the smallest amount. So even the smallest amount placed on the mincha will make it possible. Okay, maybe you have the possibility, like we said, that maybe you could remove the flour that absorbed the oil and replace it, but that's a different matter. But the point is that, and of course you can only replace missing parts of the mincha before the kmitza anyhow, as we learned back at the beginning of the Masechta. But, or maybe even not once it's placed in a klisharis. Anyway, the point is that so even the smallest amount of oil passels it, but it has to be placed on a kezayis. Why? Because aleha, because the pasuk says that you shouldn't put on it oil. And the word aleha, ad the ikashiura, there has to be the minimum shiur that for it to be considered a significant, for it to be considered a significant thing that it's being, that the oil is being placed on, namely a kezayis. And the Amr Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef tells us in the name of Rabbi Yochanan another din, that it's the opposite when it comes to Levoina. Nothing kezayis Levoina, or gavim mashu mincha, the other way around. If when it comes to Levoina, there it has to be at least a kezayis of Levoina that he puts on to make it possible, but the amount of mincha that would be together that he does that makes it possible would be any amount of mincha. My timer, lo yitin ksid, because when it comes to Levoina, it says you should not place. And that means abdi ikanisina. When you have the shodesh nosan, it means you have to give. You have to put something significant. Rashi points out that we find, for example, a case where a person eats truma b'shogeg, a zor eats truma b'shogeg, and he has to repay the kohen. By giving him an equivalent amount of produce, plus a chomish, which will become truma. Now there, the expression is, ki yoichol kodesh v'shgaga, if he eats the kodesh, the truma that is, the shogeg, then v'nosan l'koyin, then he should give the koyin. So we see that giving implies a larger, a significant amount. So the same way over here, giving, the word nosan means giving, replacing, has to be at least a kezayis of levoina. On the other hand, aleha, but then when it says aleha, now before we said in the case of the oil, aleha meant only on at least a significant amount of it, a kezayis. But here we have where it repeats again the word aleha by the levoina, and didn't have to do that. It could have said, like, yosem aleha shaman v'leit in levoina. So therefore, to have a ribui acha ribui. Therefore, that second aleha constitutes a ribui after a ribui, an amplification after a previous amplification. The Torah has already told us with the plus aloha, that it means a certain minimum amount of kazayas, and now it has another one, the ein ribui achar ribui elo lamayit. And we know a rule that when we have many times in the Torah, when we have a ribui after another ribui, then it means actually it creates a miut. It's almost like the second one cancels out the first one, and it means on the contrary, not that we're adding something, but rather that we're subtracting something. So therefore, in this case, we're subtracting, we're saying that the second aloha tells us that with the case of levona, unlike with oil, where it has to be the amount of mincha that was there when he poured the oil was at least the kazayis. Here, the second aleha kind of cancels that out and says that when it comes to putting levoina, the mincha would be possible if he put any, if he put levoina on top of any amount of mincha, even if there wasn't a kazayis there of mincha at the time. So that's the difference. According to this version that we just said, what we're saying is, so sort of Yochanan had said, and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is quoting in his name, two factual statements. There's a factual difference between oil and levoina, and the difference is one is the opposite of the other. When it comes to oil, it has to be, when it comes to the oil, it's any amount of it passels, but it has to be placed on at least the kazayah to the mincha. And when it comes to levoina, it's the other way around. It has to be at least a kazayah. Zayis of Levoina, but it's placed on any amount of mincha and tassels it. So that's one version. But then the Gemara continues. The Ikadamri, another version though is Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef Boi Rabbi Yochanan. In the second version, Rabbi Yochanan asks the question: Nothing Mashu Shemen or Gabe Kazayis Mincha. What happens if a person places a little bit of oil on a Kazayis of a Mincha? Mahu? What would be the din? Niba Inin Sima Kinesina. Would we say, since the pasuk does use different verbs, lo yosim and lo yitin, but maybe on the other hand, we would say that the pudding has to be like the placing, and since nesina, by definition, means a kazayis, maybe when it comes to the oil also, lo yosim alau shemen means at least a kazayis, and only then it would pass all the mincha, or maybe not, and the Gemara says, teku, that question is left unresolved. So according to the first version, Rabbi Yochanan had said as a factual statement that any amount of oil will passel it, but in the second version he says we're not sure. Maybe in fact it requires a kezias of oil in order to passel it. So the Rambam indeed paskins that if he put oil on a kezias of the mincha, then the Rambam says he passels it misafik, because we're saying over here that we don't know whether a mashu of oil is enough. Again, in the first version we would say that it was, but in the second version we're saying it's not so sure. But then, it is certain that there has to be at least a kazayis of oil over there by virtue of the word aloha, and therefore that if he puts the oil on less than a kazayis of mincha, he doesn't passel it. In that case, the pashtus, we would just say that we would take the mincha that absorbed the oil, remove it, replace it, and it's good. As far as levoina, again, it has to be that he puts a kazayis of levoina. The Mishnah says nosan shemen al shiureha. Now, then, the Mishnah had finished off that the Mishnah had said if he puts oil on the shirayim of the mincha, then we said he's not over on a lois haser. We discussed in the Mishnah whether that means he's not over on a lois haser, but it's aser, maybe drabanan, or whether it means that it's actually mutter. But then, again, we're talking about the minchas choyta, which doesn't have oil in it in the first place. But then the Mishnah had continued that if you put a keli containing oil, or levoina for that matter, on top of the mincha, nosan kli al gabe kli, the Mishnah had said, if you put a keli full of oil on top of a keli that contains a minchas choyta, then he doesn't thereby passel it, because the point is that the passels it when you put oil into the mincha, when you put it directly on top of the mincha, then it gets absorbed. And similarly with levoina, you put it on top of the mincha, and we discussed yesterday, okay, it doesn't get absorbed, but it's still in contact with the mincha, and not like this where you have a keli in between. So the Gemara brings a braisa. Tonarabanan, when the pasuk says, lo yosem alei ha-shemen v'lo yitin, when the pasuk says he should not put oil on the mincha, and he should not place levoina, Shetubuk Reffes takes out the words Allah HaShemen, because the Gemara is doushening from the fact that it says Lo Yosim and Lo Yitim. Now, those are two separate lavim, but the Braisa says Yochol B'Shnei Koyanim. You would think that applies only to two Koyanim. Which we'll explain in a second what that means. Talmud Loimar, therefore, the pasuk says, Aleha, on it, the gufa shal mincha kosim medaber, v'loi b'koyim. The Torah is talking about it from the point of view of the mincha and not of the koyim. Now, this is not the din of the keli on top of the keli yet. We'll talk about that in the Braisa in a second. But first, the Braisa is saying that you might have thought it's two koyanim, and instead the Braisa is saying that it's from the standpoint of the mincha. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains like this. Maybe the Torah is telling us, says the Braisa, that we've been saying all along that there's a lav to put oil on a mincha, and there's a lav to put levona on a mincha, but says Rashi, the Braisa is entertaining the possibility, maybe it means when would they be chayav for separate lavim, only if it's two separate koyanim doing it. One puts oil on it, and the other one puts levona on it. But Rashi says, maybe if one koyan were to do both of them, maybe he would be chayav for only one lav. And Mephoshim talk about what Mephoshim. So now Tosfos has questions on that because I mean the Torah writes for two lavim. Why would we think every other place where we have two lavim, we're not going to say, for example, let's say the Torah tells us don't eat blood and don't eat chaylev. You're not going to say, for example, a person is only chay of one lav, one chatas or one malchus, as the case may be. If he eats both of them, why over here should it be different? So in fact, Tosfos has other explanations, which we'll talk about in a second. But the Korban Aaron, which is a Mephorish on Torah's Koyanim, which is where this Braisa comes from, explains that since the Pasuk, precisely because the Pasuk says it as two separate things, lo yosim ala Hashem and lo yitin ala levoina, so maybe the Braisa is thinking that maybe it's talking about two different people doing it. It's a cost of that it would only be if that it would only be if it's two different koyanim. But then since it says Aleha, and we've said and it says Aleha twice, and we don't need both of them, so therefore one of them tells us that it has nothing to do with with separate koyanim, it has to do with the mincha. If a mincha itself has oil or levoina or both placed on it, then the person is oyer for doing that, and if he does each of them individually, then he's chayev two, he's chayev for two lavin. Now again, Tosfos has questions Rashi. I mean, where do we ever find that just that says two separate lavim and one person shouldn't be chayav for both of them? So rather, Tosfos first gives an answer. What the Hava Amina was, we're not talking about talking about necessarily two separate koyanim, but rather two separate menachas. So two separate minchas choyte. Now, generally, each mincha is going to be brought by a different koyan, Tosfos says, because b'roiv ha'mahadras melech, there's more glory for Hashem when more koyanim are involved in the avodah. Therefore, the braisa will be phrasing it as shnei koyanim, even though in reality it's two minchas. So now the question is, Tosfos says, the Gemara is asking, if you put oil on the mincha, then after all it becomes possible. Because not supposed to have mincha on it. So maybe, therefore, maybe he shouldn't be chayav for putting levoina on it. So maybe the only case where a person would be chayav for both would be if he had two mincha schoite in front of him, and on one of them he put oil, and on the other one he put levoina. Maybe only then he would be over on two lavim. And the Braisa is saying that, and in fact, we learned a couple of blocks ago that we said that when we talked about the whole matter of making a mincha chametz, we talked about that, yes, a person is chayev, if one person made the mincha chametz and then another person did another action which also continues the process of making it chametz. But we said, on the other hand, if the mincha is posel for some external reason, then in fact, somebody who makes it chametz is not chayev. So Tosfos says, the Gemara is saying, maybe we should say the same thing over here. Once you put oil on it, it's posel, and therefore putting levoina on it is not going to make the person is not going to make the person over any more than that. So you would have thought that. Therefore, note the Braisa is saying Aleha b'gufa shel mincha kos b'damber, that no, the pasuk is talking about within one mincha, and yes, it means in other words that he is in fact chayav both for both lavim. Then Tosfos brings it, Abin Atam learns the other way around, that it would mean that, again, it does mean, so again, we're talking about two koyanim, and we're talking about two different things, but was saying, in other words, fakert, that if oil was already placed and it became possible already, then we would say that again, maybe we'd say he's potter, maybe not. When we're saying that he's chayev would be where there are two menachas, one of them where he placed oil on one of them and he placed oil on the other and so in other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're talking about that it is one mincha, but we're talking about that it was two separate actions that were done, where again usually you would have two separate koyanim doing it. Again, again, but Obama had Rasmela, but the same thing would be with one coin. If he puts the oil, maybe he would maybe Fakir, maybe he would be Chayev for each one individually, in, as it says in the Mishnah, only if it was two separate menachas. But within one mincha, once he put oil, maybe he would be Potter for Levina, or maybe he'd be Chayev for both. So kind of the opposite of the other of the previous explanation in Tosfos that the Hava Amina is we're talking about two separate menachas. Here we're saying we're talking about one mincha. That maybe once he puts oil, then he wouldn't be chayav for levoina. So those are different explanations on it. Then you also have the Mefoshim who talk about within the Rambam's opinion. Now the Rambam, there are Achronim who learn that the Rambam says this whole thing of putting oil or levoina, the person would be chayav not so much for putting the oil or levoina itself, but rather for offering a mincha schoita that has oil or levoina on it. So there's an explanation along those lines and in Osameach and Keren Oda and others that say that the question is that that maybe in other words if one person put oil and a different koyin then offer that korban, maybe neither of them should be chayev because when you put the oil you're not yet chayev because you're putting the oil itself according to the Rambam is not yet enough to be mechayev in and the one who offered it didn't put the oil and therefore the Braita says no but gufa shel mincha kasam medaber the pasuk is saying a mincha may not be offered with oil in it and therefore it would mean that the one who was makriv would in fact be chayev malchus for it. So the gufa shel mincha across the medaber below the koyin. So the pasuk is not telling us that there's a difference how many koyanim are involved or how many actions are involved or whatever according to the different explanations, but rather we're saying it's talking about from the point of view of the mincha itself. A mincha that has oil on it is pasul, and a person gets malchus putting that oil. A mincha that has a mincha schoita, that is we're talking about, that has levoina on it is pasul, and the person who puts the levoina gets malchus. And even if, as Rashi says, even if it was one person doing it, or even as Tosfos says, even according to the first explanation, even if it was all in one mincha, and according to the second explanation, even if he did one and then he did the other, either way, even though it's possible already because of the oil, either way he'd be chayav for both of them. Now, continues the Braisa, Yochol Yitzim Kli, Agabe Kli. Now, you would think that also means, though, you can't put a keli containing oil or lavona on top of a keli containing a mincha, the Nosam Fossil, and if he did put it, he would actually make the mincha fossil. Tamad Lema Aleha, that's another meaning of the word Aleha, on it. The Gufa Shom Mincha, Kosim Adabra, where again, the Pasuk is talking about the actual mincha itself, not the keli that it was in. So therefore, putting a keli full of oil on top of the mincha will not possible it. Only lo yitna leha shaman, only if he puts on it, meaning directly on the mincha oil, but not if he puts it in the keli on top of it. Okay. The Mishnah says. Now, so before we talked about the previous Mishnah, I talked about the difference between different kinds of menachas in terms of what the ingredients are. We said that mincha basically consists of three ingredients, flour, oil, and levoina, and we went through the different cases, which ones contain all three, which ones contain only oil and levoina, which ones contain only flour and oil, which ones only flour and levoina, which ones only flour. So now, in a similar vein, the Mishnah talks about other distinctions between menachas. Yes, Tornus Hagosha, the Intornus Tznufa. Some menachos require Hagosha, where you take the Kohen takes the keli with the mincha in it and touches it to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach before he takes the Kohen elsewhere. The Intornus Tznufa, but they don't require to be waved. Hagosha or Tznufa, there are some menachos that require both, where they have to be touched to the Mizbeach and waved. Tznufa v'loi Hagosha. Some require waving, but not Hagosha. Loi Tznufa v'loi Hagosha. And then there are others that require neither of them. So let's go through them. The Elu Tornus Hagosha, the Intornus Tznufa. First, let's deal with the ones that require Hagosha and not Tznufa, which was the category in the Mishnah, that would be the five types that a person brings voluntarily. Minchas asodas, v'amachas, v'acheshes, v'achalas, v'artikin, the five that we mentioned so far, an unbaked flour mincha, the one that's fried in a shallow pan or a deep pan, which we're going to talk about in a couple of blocks, exactly what those look like. V'achalas, v'artikin, or the thick the thick loaves or the thin wafers that a person could bring that are baked in an oven. Those are the five types of mincha that an individual can bring voluntarily. So all of those require hamgasha to the mizbeach before you take the kaimetz, but they don't require tznufa. Also, minchas koyanim, a mincha brought by a koyan, even though no tznufa is taken from it, and we're going to see in a minute, Rav Shimon disagrees, but the Tanakhama says it doesn't matter, you still have to do Hagosha for it anyway. Or Minchas Kohen Mashiach, similarly to Minchas Kohen Mashiach, the Minchas Chavikin, Minchas Nochim, a mincha brought by Goyim, which again, as we talked about in the previous Mishnah, it's Machlokas, whether Goyim can in fact bring Menachos or not. We're going to talk about it later in the Masechta, Bez Hashem. So here we're following the opinion. You were following the opinion of Rabbi Yisai Grili and Gemara later in Amos Sechta and Daphai and Gimel, that Rabbi Yisai Grili says that a Goy is able to bring a mincha. Rabbi Akiva, who disagrees with him, would say that would not have this in the Mishnah because there's no such thing as a minchas nachrim then. Anyway, minchas nashim, a mincha brought by women, with the exception of minchas sota. We're talking about a regular voluntary mincha brought by women. As we talked about in the previous Mishnah, once it says minchas, so there's a really reason why that says, why it has to say minchas koyanim, because of the chiddush, that even though kmitza is not taken, and in fact, Reb Shimon is going to disagree on it, nevertheless, the Tanakhama holds that you do have gosha for it, and once it's mentioning that, then it mentions tznufa, and it mentions hagosha, then it mentions that, the minchas koyanim, then already it, along with it mentions the menachos of goyim and of women. Or minchas choyte, and the minchas choyte, which also needs hagosha. Reb Shimon disagrees on a couple of them. Minchas Koyanim and Minchas Koyan Mashiach ain't ben Agosha. Reb Shimon says that no, the Minchas Koyanim and the Mincha of the Koyan Mashiach of the Koyan Gadol ain't ben Agosha. There's no Hagosha necessary with those Menachos. Lefisha ain't ben Kmitza because there's no Kmitza that taken from them because they're completely burnt on the Mizeach. Vecholsha ain't ben Kmitza, ain't ben Agosha. And whenever there's no Kmitza, then there's no Hagosha. Now, Tosfos points out this is not an absolute rule because we're going to learn at the beginning of the seventh parak of Amos Sechta, Bez Hashem, that now you have so again a regular mincha of a koyin, the Torah tells us that you burn it completely on the mizbeach. What about if a koyin has to bring a minchas choyte? What about if a koyin did one of those things that makes him required to bring a korban or the yored, and he's poor and therefore he brings a minchas choyte? So what do we do with it? Reb Shimon says that you do take a kmitza from it, but then what you do is you burn the koimet separately on the mizbeach, and then you burn the shirayim separately by themselves. So you see, in other words, that according to Reb Shimon, it requires kmitza, and yet, following what he's saying over here, it's because the mincha of a koyin, then it shouldn't require hagosha. So apparently it's not, the rule is not that whenever there's no kmitza, there's no hagosha. So Tosfos explains that, and the Gemara is going to point out that the real underlying reason is because you don't eat these menachas. So therefore Tosfos says that actually that's the real reason is indeed because that as we're going to learn in a braisa in the Gemara. Is that we don't eat from it. So the Mishnah is just giving us, Reb Shimon is giving us in the Mishnah a simon, that whenever there's no kmitza, then automatically there's no hagosha. That doesn't mean that when there is kmitza, there's always going to be hagosha, because in fact, he's going to say, by minchas choyte, there is kmitza, and yet there's no hagosha, because his rule is that there's hagosha only when the mincha is going to have shirayim that are eaten, and in the case of a mincha of a koyin, even a minchas choyte of a koyin, there is not going to be. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Amar Papa, Kol Hecha de Tnan, Eser Tnan. Whenever we learn this list that we have in the Mishnah, then there are 10. My Kamash Malon, La Pukimidid, we learned this the other day as well. My Kamash Malon, La Pukimidid Reb Shimon. This comes to tell us, not like Reb Shimon, Dama Mechza Chalas, Mechza Rekik and Yavi, where he said later in the Perek, that if a person says that he's going to bring a Minchas Mafek Tanu, a baked Mincha, then the Tanakhama is saying it has to be, he brings either Chalas or Rekikin, not both. And Reb Shimon is saying that he could bring half, he could bring part Chalas and part Rekikin if he wants. Kabash Malon Deloy, therefore the Papa is telling us that part of the Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. We learned the other day, Rashi had given two explanations what Reb Papa means. The first explanation was that Reb Papa means that every one of these menachas has to be made into 10 loaves. We talk about what does that mean as far as a minchas solus, which is unbaked. At what point do you make it into 10 loaves? But anyway, Rashi's first explanation had been that each of the ones listed in the Mishnah is then the flour is divided into 10 loaves and fried or baked. And Reb Papa wants you to know, therefore, that's not like Reb Shimon, because according to Reb Shimon, it would be possible to bring 5 thick loaves and 5 rakikin and still be yotze. Rashi's second explanation is that you have a list of 10 things in the Mishnah, and the point is that's not like Reb Shimon, because since according to Reb Shimon, you have within baked menachos, you have the choice of bringing all chalas, all rakikin, or half of one and half of the other, then it would come out, according to Reb Shimon, there would be 11 things in the list instead of 10. So now the Gemara is going to bring a long braisa, which is going to go all the way from here until Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, all the way until the next Mishnah. Here and there, the Gemara is going to interject into it, but it's going to be a long series of braisas from Toras Koyanim, from the Medrash Halacha, and Vayikra, that's going to go through these details of how we learn this point that we said in the Mishnah, which menachas require hagosha and not tnufa, which then the next Mishnah continues with the other way around, things that require tnufa and not hagosha, things that require both, things that require neither. So we're going to have a long braisa over here that's going to go through all of that and demonstrate how we know each of these dinim. So the Gemara says, Menahani, nearly where do we know these dinim in the Mishnah from? So the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, the Pasuk says like this. After it lists the 5 types of menachas that an individual can bring as an adava, again, you have the unbaked one, you have the 2 kinds of fried ones, shallow pan and deep pan, and you have the 2 types of baked ones, chalas and thin rakikin. Then the Pasuk says like this. It says, Ve'heveses a mincha, you should bring the mincha, asher ye'osa me'ela, that is made from any one of these, la'ashem, you should bring that mincha to Hashem, ve'ikrivo ala koyin, you should bring it to the koyin, ve'igishu ala mizbeach, and the koyin should bring it close, should touch it to the mizbeach. So now, we learn in the braisa like this. If the Torah had not used the words es hamincha, even nemar vehevesa asher yeosam eva lashem, if the Torah had used the expression that you should bring whatever is made of these to Hashem, and he should offer it to him, and he should bring it close to the Koyan, and then the Koyan should do Hagosha. If it didn't say the words, Es HaMincha, Ho'yisi Oymer, I would have said, Ein Lishiton Hagosha, Ela Koymetz Bilvav. You would think that only what's Lashem, the part of the Mincha, that's Lashem, namely the Koymetz, should be touched to the Mizbeach. Mincha Minayin, how do we know the Mincha as a whole has to be touched to the Mizbeach? Talmud Lomer Mincha. That is why the Pasuk doesn't just say, Asher Yo'osem Eila, it says that he brings Es HaMincha, Asher Yo'osem Eila. So far, we're doushing in the word Mincha to mean that the Mincha as a whole needs Hagosha before the Kmitzah, because only after that does the Torah say that you take the Kremitz. Mincha Schoite Minayin, how would we know the same thing applies to a Mincha Schoite, which Tosfos points out, you know, it's one thing, the 5 menachas, once the Pasuk lists the 5 of them and then says, Asher Yo'osem Me'ela, so it means all the ones that are mentioned in that context. So all of them have the same din, but the mincha Sechoite, and the various other ones, and then the Mincha Sechoite, which is not mentioned in that context, then therefore the Gemara needs to know where we learn that it also requires Hagosha. So Mincha Schoite Minayin, how do we know Tamad Lama Es HaMincha? That is why the Pasuk says Es HaMincha. So Es HaMincha is any mincha still any mincha still requires Hagosha. So an interesting idea the Meshach Chochma brings. It's not just that we're doushing from the extra words Es HaMincha. It's more that the Pasuk is saying, Asher Yo'osem Me'ela, which is made from these. So the Gemara's understanding, it means not just a mincha of any of these 5 types that are just listed. It means a mincha that's made out of any of the components that have been listed in the Pasuk so far. Flour, oil, or lavoina. So since a mincha schoita does contain one of those components, then therefore it still requires Hagosha. Tosfos points out the Gemara is not asking, the Braisa is not asking where we learn the other ones that we said. What about Minchas Koyen? What about Minchas Koyen Mashiach? So the Braisa doesn't say where we're learning that from. So Tosfos brings possibilities that maybe We could learn it by Binyan Av from regular Menachas, or we could say we also learn it from the same words as a Mincha, that means not only a Mincha Sechoite, it mentions, it means those also. Tosfos also brings up the point. Now you have, we've learned a few times in the Masechta, you have a pasuk that says, Zois Torah Samincha, this is the rule of the Mincha, and from that we learn Torah Achas V'chol Menachas, that all Menachas, or most Menachas, have the same rules. Why can't we learn that? Why can't we learn this from that point? So Tosfos says that because after all the pasuk also goes and says that he should take the koimetz from the flour and from the oil and all the levoina, so that implies that we're talking only a mincha that contains all those three. You wouldn't know from that that it means the ones that contain only oil. So therefore we can't necessarily learn that from Zos Teres Mincha. Shitim Kubetis phrases it somewhat differently. He says that other menachos, yeah, you have Zos Teres Mincha. And therefore, that shouldn't bother Tosfos why we're not learning the Minchas Koinim and the Minchas Koinim Mashiach. We don't need an explicit pasuk for that, because those we can learn from Zos Teres Mincha. But since a Minchas Chote is so different than the other ones, no oil and no Lavoina, we wouldn't have known that you do have Gosha with it were it not for these words, Esa Mincha. Okay. Now, the Braisa says, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that? The Dinhu, why can't we learn it by Binyan Av from the other kinds of Menachos? Now, granted, there is sometimes, Mitzvah Esam points out, sometimes when you have something that you could have learned by a Kavachoymer or a Binyan Av, then sometimes the Torah will write it anyway, but still, the question really is that it should be Shana Olav HaKosav La'akim. If we have it, we could have learned it by a Binyan Av, and the Pasuk actually goes and writes it out, then it would mean it would be Ma'akim, and that would mean that if you didn't do the Hagosha by Minchas Chote, then it would actually be Ma'akim, and the Korban would be Pasul, and it's not so. The question is, Vidinhu, isn't it a Binyan Av that we could learn that a Minchas Chote requires Hagosha? Why do we need a Pasuk? The Torah is telling us over here about a mincha that you're required to bring, namely for a chote. The nemahocha minchas nedava, and it also says over here a minchas nedava, a voluntary mincha that a person brings. The Tzon Kodshim says that actually the word is not ha-ha in both parts of the sentence. It's really supposed to be ha-vei. The Torah tells us ha-vei, bring a minchas chayva, and the Torah also tells us bring a minchas nedava. So therefore, we should be able to make a binyan av between them. Ma minchas nedava to'una agosha, just like a voluntary mincha requires agosha, af minchas choyva to'una agosha, the same way an obligatory mincha, a minchas choyta, should also require agosha. So why is the pasuk? You need to spell it out for us. And the answer is, you can't do a binyan av like that. Ma la minchas nedava shekein to'una shem and levoina. Well, precisely that. A minchas nedava requires oil on levoina, meaning therefore it's more choshev, it's nicer, it's more important. And therefore, you could say, when it's nicer and more important, then the Torah is saying it should be touched to the Mizbeach. But a Minchas Chote, which is just plain flour, well, maybe you shouldn't need to, so maybe we do need the Pasuk to tell us. The answer is Minchas Chote, Tehseach. Fine, but you can prove to the contrary from Minchas Chote. A Minchas Chote doesn't have oil or levoina either, and yet it requires Hagosha. As we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, that it requires tinufa and hagosha, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. So you see that just because it doesn't have oil in the levoina is not a reason to exempt it from hagosha. But the Braisa says, But the Braisa says, Mala Minchas Sota Shekein Tona Tznufa. On the other hand, now you could say, Minchas Sota is special in that it needs not only Hagosha, it also needs Tznufa, that the Kohen and the woman together wave the Mincha, as opposed to a Minchas Sota does not. So you'd answer, Minchas Nedava Techiach. Well, to that, you can prove that it's not so. So you could say, in other words, maybe only where it requires Tznufa does it also require Hagosha. And the answer is no. Prove to the contrary from a regular person's Mincha, which doesn't need Tznufa and yet needs Hagosha. So, V'chozer Adin. So we'd go back and forth. Loi Re'izek Re'izeh. So neither one has, V'loi Re'izek Re'izeh. Neither one has factors exactly like the other. The Minchas Sota requires Tznufa, but it doesn't have oil on the Levoina. The Minchas the regular minchas nedava has flour, has oil and lavona, but doesn't need tnufa. Hatzada shavah shabehen. But what do they have in common? Sheshavul l'kmitza. They both have a koymitz taken from them. Veshavul l'agosha. And they're both the same as far as they have to have gosha to the mizbeach by both of them. Afa mi ovi minchas choyte. Well then, says the Braisa, you could learn logically from a tzada shavah between them that a minchas choyte sheshavul l'hem l'kmitza, which is the same as far as having a koymitz taken from it. Tishvul l'hem l'agosha. Then it should be equal to them as far as Hagosha, and we shouldn't need a posset to tell us that you have to do Hagosha, but we shouldn't need the words Es HaMincha that we said before. We're learning a Mincha Schoite from it. We shouldn't say that you need that in order to teach us that that it requires Hagosha. But Braisa continues, Malat Tzad HaShavah Shebehen. No, because you know what? There's another Tzad HaShavah between a Minchas Nedava and a Minchas Soita, Shekhen Huchshu Lovi Ba'oshu Keba'oni. Because you bring the person brings the exact same Mincha, whether he's rich or poor. Now, granted, later in the Masechta, we're going to learn that typically a Minchas Nedava is brought by a poor person where he can't afford something better. But nevertheless, it's not an absolute halacha that only a poor person can bring a Minchas Nedava. A rich person can bring a Minchas Nedava if he feels like it. The Gemara tells us in Soita, there'd be a difference of what kind of container they bring it in. If he's a rich person, he would bring it in a container made of gold or silver. If he was poor, he would bring it in some other kind of metal container. It has to be something that can be used for a klisharis. But anyway, the point is that the point is a rich person, if he wants, can bring a mincha. A mincha sota is always going to be the same whether the woman and her husband are rich or poor or not. Term of minchas choyta, so how would you compare it to the minchas choyta? Shalai huksha, love it, but osher kibani. You're not allowed to. A rich person is not allowed to bring it, because a rich person, if he does the same aveira, instead is going to be bringing something else. If he's very rich and can afford it, he's going to be bringing an animal for his korban, a sheep or a goat. And if he can't afford that, then he'll bring two birds, one as an ola and one as a chatas. The case where he brings a mincha is only when he's the poorest of the poor, dalei dalos. So therefore, you could say there's a difference. Maybe only, the rule would be, in other words, maybe only Hagosha is required for a mincha that can be brought by anybody rich or poor. But that wouldn't apply to a mincha schoita. So now that we've shown that the tzad hashava won't work to say that the mincha schoita requires Hagosha, now we understand, Talmud Lomar Es HaMincha, that is why the pasuk needed to use the words Es HaMincha to tell us that nevertheless the mincha schoita requires Hagosha. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to bring another opinion on the subject. We're going to bring Reb Shimon in this connection that Rashi explains is not arguing with the Tanakhama. He's just saying that there's another limud that we can use from which we will know that the Minchas Ha'omer and the Minchas Sota also require Hagosha. So far, what the Tanakhama had said is we know from it the five types of voluntary mincha and the mincha soita. The Tanakhama has not dealt with how we know that the Omer and the mincha soita require Hagosha. That Reb Shimon is now going to tell us a drasha for that. So, in fact, Tosfos wonders why in the Braisa so far, why it didn't focus on Minchas Purim and Minchas Purim Masiyah, where you have the Machlokas and Shimon and the Chachamim in the Mishnah about whether they need Hagosha or not. But in any case, Reb Shimon is going to say, never mind the voluntary Menachos and the Minchas Choyte, we've already dealt with those, and never mind Minchas Purim and Minchas Purim Masiyah, which Reb Shimon says don't require Hagosha. Let's deal with how we know that the Omer and the Minchas Choyte do require it. So Reb Shimon Omer, Vehevesa, when the Pasuk says, in the Pasuk that we quoted before, Vehevesa Es HaMincha, the word Vehevesa, and you should bring, means Lodavos Mincha Sa'omer LaHagosha. That comes to include that the Mincha Sa'omer also has to be touched to the Mizeach. Vehevesa Omer, we find the word Vehevesa, used in connection with the Omer. Vehevesa Es Omer, Reishus Ksilchem Alakoyen, you should bring the Omer of the first of your harvest to the Koyen. We're going to learn all about the Omer in the next paragraph, Es Hashem. So the word Behevesa teaches us about the Omer. Then the pasuk continues, the kriva, that he should bring it close to the Mizbeach, that means the Rabbis Minchas Soita LaHagosha, says Reb Shimon, that means that tells us also that the Minchas Soita also requires Hagosha, as we find, in connection with the Minchas Soita, where the pasuk says he should bring it close to the Mizbeach. So in other words, it's basically Reb Shimon is making a couple of Zeta Shavas to show that it refers to the Omer, and refers to the Minchas Sota. Torres just points out that by the Minchas Sotah, it also says that it should be brought. It also says it's the heaviest korbanah alecha. And in fact, in the Braisa, Rabbi Huda is going to point that out soon. So why appoint Rabbi Shimon? Are we using the Hevesa for the Omer? So Tosfos says, because it's more of a Svara to start with the Omer, because that's more similar to other Menachos, in that it has oil on the Voina, and also that's fine flour, as opposed to the Gemara is going to point out soon, a Minchas Sotah. Not only does not have any oil or the Voina, it's not even made of good quality flour, it's just plain stuff. Now the problem is that the Ravid brings up a point that the wood v'hikrivo itself means you have to touch it to the mizbeach. So how are we also using it to say that it refers to the Minchas Sotah? So the Ravid explains that the word v'hikrivo, that it means that hagosha is closer than hakrava. So therefore, in other words, it means it's both v'hikrivo el hamizbeach. When it says you should bring it close to the mizbeach, it means that you should not only v'hikrivo, as in bringing the Minchas Sotah, but also do hagosha and bring it even closer. So the Shittim Kubetzes gives a different explanation and says that even it says the Kriva la Koyen, the Kriva la Mizbeach, but it doesn't say where, so therefore we learn from the fact that it says by a regular mincha, Hakri Voisa, Lifnei Hashem, Apnei Mizbeach, and therefore that it means that it has to be touched to the southwest corner, Davka, as the Gemara learns elsewhere. The point is, in other words, that we're also saying the word Vehikriva also means that we're referring to the Mincha Sotah. Now again, the question is, why do we need, according to Rav Shimon, why do we need a posuk to tell us that the Minchas Sotah requires Hagosha? The Dinhu, shouldn't we be able to learn it by a Mamotzinu? Or Ma Minchas Sotah Shein Tznufa Tzona Hagosha? Ma Dacha Minchas Sotah, which does not require waving, it does require Hagosha, as we just worked out. Minchas Sotah Shein Tzona Tznufa, so then the Minchas Sotah, which has to be waved, Ein Din Shein Tzona Hagosha, how much more so that it would require Hagosha. So again, the idea is maybe only, so we would say that we would learn the Minchas Sotah from the Minchas Sotah and say both of them require Hagosha. So before we had the limud that the Tanakhama said from Esa Mincha, learned the Minchas Sotah, fine, you would say Minchas Sotah is different because it's made from barley flour, but still, maybe you would say you would learn from a Mamatzinu, from a Binyan Ab, from the Minchas Sotah. Says the Braisa, no. Mala Minchas Sotah, Shekin Bal Chitin, no, because there's a big difference. The Minchas Sotah is made out of wheat flour. And therefore you could say that Hagosha applies to a korban that's made out of wheat flour. So how would you know that it applies to the Minchas Sotah, which is made of barley flour? So the Gemara says Minchas Omer Tefiach. Well, so Reb Shimon says, you can learn from the Minchas Omer, which is made of barley flour, and yet it requires Hagosha. But Malam Minchas Omer Shekin Tona Shemen Levoina. But we said the Minchas Omer requires oil on Levoina. So you could say only when it has oil on Levoina does it require Hagosha. And the answer is Minchas Chotah. Same logic as before. We're going to say prove to the contrary from the Minchas Chotah, which does not have oil on Levoina and still has Hagosha. V'chaza Adin. So again, we would go back and forth. Lori Izek Kivizev, Lori Izek Kivizev. Each one has a feature that the other one doesn't have. Atzad HaShavah Shavah. What do they have in common? Sheshavah L'Kmitza V'Shavah L'Hagosha. They both have Kmitza taken from them and they both have Hagosha. Afani Ovi Minchas Chotah. Therefore, logically, we should be able to include from this Mamotzinu, we should be able to include the Mincha Sotah, Sheshav Salam the Kmitza, Tishva Lan Hagosha. It has the same Kmitza, and therefore logically it ought to have the same Hagosha. But the Braisa says, Malat Tzad HaShavah Shebehen, no, because you could consider there's another Tzad HaShavah between the Mincha of the Choyte and the Mincha Sotah. Shekein Lehukshu Lover Kemach. Neither of them are kosher if they're brought from plain flour. The Minchas Chotah, granted, is only flour, no levoina and no oil, but nevertheless, it's brought from soilus, which is the high quality wheat flour. Later in the Masechta, we'll talk about Be'ez Hashem, the difference between soilus and kemach. You know, you have in Pirkei Avos, you have where it mentions the four types of talmidim, and it mentions the kind of talmud who's like a nuffel, who's like a sieve, from a kemach to keletus la soilus. It lets through the kemach and retains the soilus. So the idea would be, in other words, solus is the grainy stuff that's considered to be the good quality flour. Qemach would be the powdery stuff. So when you sift flour, after you've ground up wheat or barley, for that matter, then you sift it. The thinner powdery stuff falls through the holes of the sieve. The coarser stuff, like semolina, stays behind in the sieve. So that the Mishnah is using it as a metaphor for a Talmud who. He hears a lot in the Beis Medrash, and he lets out and forgets the unnecessary details, and remembers the good stuff, remembers the important details and the things that are relevant to the topic that he's learning, and leaves aside the ones that are just by the way things and other things like that are not important. So the same way over here then. So when it comes to the Minchas Choyta, it still has to be made out of solas. When it comes to the Minchas Omer, it's made out of geres, which is the greater flour, barley flour that's equal to solas of wheat. So either way, you're bringing fine flour, good quality flour, as opposed to by the Sota, where the Pasuk says that it's Kemach. That's just plain flour. You don't sift it, you grind the grain and you bring the flour as is. So therefore, see, you could say that the Minchas Sota is in fact different than the other one, and therefore maybe it shouldn't have Hagosha. So how do you compare it to the Minchas Sota, which is made from unsifted flour? So in fact, there's an explanation even that another difference is that solas, you would first remove the bran and wheat germ and things like that, whereas with the mincha, whereas with kemach, you wouldn't. So then in that case, then the sota's mincha would be whole wheat flour as opposed to the other ones are white flour. In any case, it's different than the other ones. So now you wouldn't know. Maybe in fact you can't learn the mincha sota from the other ones and say that it should require hagasha. That is why the Pasuk needs to use the word Ve'ikriva to tell us that nevertheless the Minchas Sota does require Agoshim. So that's what Reb Shimon says. So again, the Tanakhama had said we can learn from the Pasuk in the Minchas Sota, and even though we would have thought to do it by Mamatsinu, in the end we can't do that. We need a Pasuk for it. And Reb Shimon says the same thing is true. As far as the Minchas Sota, we also can learn it. We also need to learn it from a Pasuk, and we can't learn it with a Mamatsinu. But now the Braisa continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Vehevesa. So see, Rabbi Shimon had said Vehevesa means the Minchas Omer, and then the Ikriva means the Minchas Sota. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Vehevesa v'rabas Minchas Sota la'agosha. The word Vehevesa refers to the Minchas Sota and teaches us that one requires agosha. V'cheinu Omer. Vehevias korbana alaha. As the pasuk uses the word the shodesh hava to bring in connection with the Minchas Sota, where it says he should bring her korban on her behalf. So therefore, we can learn the word Vehevesa is referring to that as well. So again, Reb Shimon Tosfa says it preferred to say that Vehevesa refers to the Minchas Omer because it's more similar to other menachos and having oil on the vina. But Reb Yehuda doesn't do that. He says that it's used for the Sota, but he says I'm a Minchas Omer. It's Sricha Kara. Reb Yehuda would say that to tell us that the Minchas Omer requires Hagosha, that you don't even need a pasuk. So therefore, he says I don't need the word Vehevesa. I don't need to teach us about the Minchas Omer. So therefore, I have it available, and then the only thing I can use it for, he says, is the Minchas Sota. Why? My timer, Midina Kaasya. Because he says, because that you could learn from a Kavach Omer. Which doesn't require tznufa, does require hagasha. Minchas Omer, the Minchas Omer, which requires tznufa, as in fact it says in the pasuk about it, that you wave it, the hain of his Omer, ain't a din, shetona hagasha. How much more so it should require hagasha. So the Mephoshim point out he could have learned that actually from the Minchas Nedava. Why does he need to learn it from the Minchas Choyta? Because otherwise we might have learned the other way around. So the Gemara says Malah, but he continues Malah Minchas Choyta Shekain Ba Chitin. But you would say the problem is that a Minchas Choyta is brought from wheat as opposed to the Omer is barley, so maybe they're different. And the answer is Minchas Choyta Techiak. You would prove from the Minchas Choyta we've just established that the Minchas Choyta requires Hagasha. But you would say Malam Minchas Sota Shekein Bo Levarer Oven to Maskeras Oven. But on the other hand, you could say that Minchas Sota has a special feature that it's coming specifically to establish, to clarify whether she did an Avera. Why is she bringing the Minchas Sota? Because she put herself in a compromising situation. Her husband told her, Alti Sasu, Imish Poini, and he went ahead and did that, and now the minchas sota has to be brought to clarify the matter. The wood, the maskeras oven, and the kibbutz takes out. Those are a note that somebody wrote on the side of his gemara and then accidentally made it into the gemara. The point is that the minchas sota has a special feature, levarer oven, to clarify whether she had done the avera. So therefore, you could say that's what requires hagosha, not necessarily the oimer. And the answer is minchas choyte. Well, you'll prove to the contrary for the minchas choyte, which is not brought levar or oven and still requires hagosha. So again, chazer adin, we would go back and forth. Loyri izek yirizeh, loyri izek yirizeh. Each one has a feature that the other one does not have. Atzad ha-shavah shalehen, what do they all have in common? What do they both have in common? Shekein shavah l'knitzah v'shavah l'agosha. Both the minchas choyte and the minchas sota both require kmitza, and therefore they both require hagosha. Afani ovim minchas ha'omer, therefore says Rabbi Yehuda, I don't need a posik for the minchas ha'omer. We can learn the minchas ha'omer in that way. Sheshav salam the kmitza. It's the same as both of them as far as kmitza. Tishvelahim la'agosha, therefore it's going to be the same as far as hagosha. Now, so that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. So that now Rabbi Shimon obviously disagreed with that, because Rabbi Shimon said you cannot learn the minchas ha'omer by a tzad ha'shava like that. According to him, you need a posit for the omer. So the question is, why not? Or my parakas? How can you slug that up? Such that Rabbi Shimon would say, I can't accept that. I can't accept that way of learning it. So the answer is Rabbi Shimon porichok. Rabbi Shimon can slug up that tzad ha'shava as follows. Malat tzad ha'shava shebehem shekein mitzuyim. You know what though? The minchas choyte and the minchas sota are more can happen more often. Because after all, you could have it could happen 100 times. It could happen 100 times during a year that a person does an avera that makes him chayav for a minchas choyte and he's poor. That makes him chayav for a korban el biyarda and he's poor and therefore he brings a minchas choyte. It could happen 100 times during the year that there are sotas and they bring a minchas sota. As opposed to the minchas oimer is by definition brought only once a year. So therefore, the Shimon says you can't learn the minchas ha'omer from the other two. You could say only a korban that can conceivably be brought many times during the year is one that has hagosha. Where's Rabbi Yehuda? Doesn't worry about that because Adrabba, he says on the contrary, on the contrary, you can argue the omer is more common. After all, the minchas choyta and the minchas sota might never happen. Sure, they might happen 100 times during the year. They might also happen 0 times during the year, as opposed to the omer is always, by definition, going to be once a year. So therefore, on the contrary, the omer is in a way more common, more likely to happen than the other two, and therefore we can say, he says, that you can, in fact, this is a valid sadashava. So the Gemara continues now. So again, we're saying that the word behevesa, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're learning that the minchas ha'omer requires hagosha, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're learning from it that the minchas sota requires hagosha. Now, though, the Braisa continues Maybe the word behevesa has another meaning. Maybe the meaning of behevesa is besides for the 5 menachas that are listed in the psukim over here. Maybe it means that a yochid could bring a different kind as well. Maybe a yochid could voluntarily bring a minchas ha'omer. Maybe a yochid could voluntarily bring a minchas sota, etc. So maybe it's not teaching us the matter of hagosha. Maybe it's teaching us the fact that a yochid can be menad of other kinds of menachas. So, for example, a yochid can bring a mincha of barley if it wants. So how do you know that not? You could din hu, and in fact you could derive it logically. Tzibur maybe mincha menachitin choiva, or maybe mincha menasa'urin choiva. The tzibur has a mincha of wheat that's an obligation, namely the menachas, the minchas nesachim that come with korbanos, the mincha, the shtei alechem, which is a type of mincha and is made of wheat flour. Even the lechem aponim we talked about to a limited extent is considered like a mincha, and they also bring an obligatory korban of barley, namely the oimer. So you could argue, after yochid shemevi mincha menachit in the so a yochid who's able to bring a wheat mincha as a voluntary thing, yocho yovi mincha menasa'ur in the maybe he should be able to bring a barley, a korban of barley as an adava as well, and maybe we learn that from the words vehevesa. No, tamud lema eila, therefore the pasuk says that he brings from eila. The pasuk is may eila, and we're gouging from the word eila, and may eila separately. So ein le ela eila, so no, it means only these 5 that are listed over there, kind of yuck and grill. And all of them, the pasuk says, are made out of solus, this good quality wheat flour, so those are the only ones. Okay, the braisa continues, Maybe that means something else. Maybe the word Eila means that if a person says, I'm going to bring a mincha, should maybe chamishna. Maybe he has to bring all five types in order to be yotze his neder. No, Tamil Lama may Eila, therefore the process is from these, meaning he doesn't have to, it's a meal. He doesn't have to bring all of them, so rotza achas maybe, rotza chamishna maybe. He can bring all five of them if he wants. I'm going to talk about at the end of the Masech, the cases where a person is going to have to do that. He made a neder, I'm going to bring a mincha of a certain type, and then he forgot what type, he's going to have to bring all five. But to begin with, when he says, I'm going to bring a mincha, he can bring only one of them. We learn that from the word may Eila. So far we have then as follows. So far the Braisa, this long Braisa, has been telling us that we learn the five types of voluntary mincha require hadasha. We learn the mincha sota requires hadasha. We learn that the mincha sa'omer and the mincha sota also require hadasha. We had Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda learning that in different ways. And then, we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and the Gemara will quote the rest of the Braisa talking about the various other menachas that we mentioned in the Mishnah, how we know which of them require hadgasha or not.